of America.
Now for the worship service of our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
The crowd has assembled. This is the Sunday of Palm Sunday, as well as recognized as the Sunday of Passion. I always like to start my day, and I was surprised, for on social network, I found something that made my heart and spirit smile. Let me share it with all of you, those on Radio WPHM, as you worship with our Savior. On it, it says, "I just got a DNA test results. It proved that I am a child of God." And it just made me smile. I am a child of God, not by DNA, but by faith in Jesus Christ. But the point was strong. So we welcome you on radio and for us in house at our Savior. We begin from our narthex down center aisle when we sing the hymn Entrance with the response for the procession with palms. We have all received our palms here at our Savior. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The Lord be with you. The gospel for the procession this day from our gospel for this year is Mark, the 11th chapter, beginning with the first verse. So when they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples. He said to them, "Go into the city ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' you just say to them, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately.'" So they went away. They found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying this colt?" They said to them what Jesus had said, so they were allowed and to take it away. So then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks upon it. Jesus sat upon it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road. Others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead, as well as those who follow, were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor, David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then Jesus entered Jerusalem, went into the temple, and when he had looked around at everything as it was written, as already late, he then went to Bethany with his 12 disciples. The Lord be with you. And we raise our palm branches for this portion. Let us go forth in peace in the name of the Lord. Amen. We praise you, O God, for redeeming the world through our Savior Jesus Christ. Today we entered the holy city, please triumph, and was proclaimed Messiah and King by those who spread garments and branches along his way. Bless these branches and those who carry them. Grant us grace to follow our Lord in the way of the cross, so that joined to his death and resurrection, we enter into life with you through the same Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So let us go forth in peace. In the name of Christ, amen. Our entrance hymn is All Glory, Laud and Honor. We'll sing our refrain and then we'll march on the first verse. the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. I invite you to be seated, please. We have special music by Iris on the digital piano. And then we continue. Beautiful artist. If I'm correct, it's called Poems?
Yes.
So, yeah, the Poems. Beautiful. For those on radio, if you've been to the Lenten luncheons that we did in this community this year, 2018, we had 5 Lenten luncheons over at St. John United Church of Christ. Our worship attendance at the end of the 5th week, this week, hosted by Grace Episcopal, we averaged 85 people a Thursday. Last year, the average was 60. And Iris was asked to play 3 times about 40 minutes of music before, you know, during the luncheon time, just beautiful music. And of course, her anthology of hymns is no book. She plays them all from her memory. May God grant that we have such a memory. she did poems, she did not do it for music. She's just good and gifted that way. So the mood changes now. A lot of times people don't understand, because our tradition, if we were raised before 1978 in the church, we always called this the Sunday, a Palm Sunday. And it is. But now we shift to the Sunday of the Passion. because this is the reason why he came to the city. What you witnessed yesterday in the national capital and major cities around America was for a political cause and a humanitarian cause to save lives for our children. When Jesus entered the city, it was not for political reasons to unset Pilate, establish his kingdom on this earth, though many thought in their cheering he would accept that token and, you know, proceed forward to take Pilate and obviously Caesar down and liberate the Israel nation. But that was not his purpose. They misunderstood it. And so we shift now to the Sunday of the Passion. Okay? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together, please. Everlasting God, in your endless love for the human race, you sent our Lord Jesus Christ to take on our nature and to suffer death on the cross. In your mercy, enable us to share in his obedience to your will and in the glorious victory of his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We have the reading of the Old Testament lesson from the book of Isaiah.
Good morning. The image of the servant of the Lord is one of the notable motifs in the book of Isaiah. Today's reading describes the mission of the servant whom early Christians associated with Jesus. Like Jesus, the servant does not strike back at his detractors, but trusts in God's steadfast love. The first reading comes from the book of Isaiah, starting with the 50th chapter, verses 4 through 9. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with the word. Morning by morning he wakes and wakes my ear to listen to those who are taught. The Lord my God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled my beard. I did not hide my face from insulting and spitting. The Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have not set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me and who will declare me guilty. Word of God, word of life. Christ did not act to attain status and glory, but was obedient to God, even to the point of death. Following Christ's example, we do not seek personal status or glory, but care for others as God cared for us in Christ's death. The second reading comes from Philippians, 2nd chapter, verses 5 through 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as sometimes to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in a human likeness, and being found in a human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Word of life, word of God.
Thanks be to God. At this time, those who are readers, if you'll retract to the narthex, where you'll use the microphone for the reading. For those on radio and for those who forget year to year, on this Sunday throughout our churches, we have the reading of the Passion story, that is the suffering and the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus, during our worship time, appropriate for that year's gospel. So last year it was Matthew, this year it's Mark, next year it's Luke. They each have a different vantage point of seeing the event of Jesus' death and resurrection differently, but still to the same truth. So, from Mark, we have this reading from the 14th chapter, verse 1 through chapter 15 and 47. Congregation, please note, your portion is noted there in the service folder too. So we begin with the narrator.
It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him, for they said,
not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people.
While he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar, a very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger,
why was this ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii. And the money given to the poor.
They scolded her, but Jesus said,
now let her alone. Why do you trouble this lady? She has performed a very good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. And truly I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in this whole world, what she has done, will be told in remembrance of her.
Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priest in order to betray him to them. When they sacrificed, his disciples said to Jesus,
where do you want us to go?
Make the preparations for you to eat the Passover.
So he sent two of his disciples, saying to them,
go into the city. A man will be carrying a jar of water, will follow you. So follow him, you'll meet him. And wherever he enters, say to the owner of that house, the teacher asks, where is this guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs. It's going to be furnished. It's going to be ready. So make preparation for us there.
So the disciples set out and went to the city and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he came with the 12, and when they had taken their place and were eating, Jesus said,
truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me.
They began to be distressed and to say to him one after another,
surely not I.
He said to them,
it is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into this bowl with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to the one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Would have been better for that one not to have been born.
While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said,
take. This is my body.
Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them,
this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. And truly I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God.
When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them,
"You will all become deserters. It's written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you in Galilee."
Peter said to them,
"Even though all become deserters, I will not."
Jesus said to him,
"Truly I tell you, this day, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times."
But Peter said vehemently,
"Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you."
All of them said the same. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I pray."
He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be distressed and agitated. He said to them,
"I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake."
Going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said,
"Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, and yet not what I want, but what you want."
He came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter,
"Simon, are you asleep? Could you not stay awake just 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak."
Again he went away and prayed, saying that the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough! The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
Immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, and with him there was a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying,
"The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard."
So when he came, he went up to him at once and said,
"Rabbi."
Judas kissed him. Then they laid hands on him and arrested him. But one of those who stood near drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to them,
"Have you come out with swords and clubs so as to arrest me as though I was a bandit? Day after day, I was with you in the temple. I was teaching in public, and you didn't arrest me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled."
All of them deserted him and fled. A certain young man was following him, wearing nothing but a linen cloth. They caught hold of him, but he left the linen cloth and ran off naked. They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes were assembled. Peter had followed him at a distance right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting with the guards, warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many gave false testimony against him, and their testimony did not agree. Some stood up and gave false testimony against him, saying,
"We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made with hands.
But even on this point, their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus,
"Have you no answer? What is it they testify against you?"
But he was silent and did not answer. Again, the high priest asked him,
"Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?"
Jesus said,
"I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven."
Then the high priest tore his clothes and said,
"Why do we still need witnesses? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?"
All of them condemned him as deserving death. Some began to spit on him, to blindfold him, and to strike him, saying to him,
"Prophesy."
The guards took him over and beat him. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she stared at him and said,
"You also were with Jesus, the man from Nazareth."
But he denied it, saying,
I do not understand what you're talking about.
And he went out into the forecourt. Then the cock crowed, and the servant girl, on seeing him, began again to say to the bystanders,
"This man is one of them."
But again he denied it. Then after a little while, the bystander again said to Peter,
"Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean."
But he began to curse, and he swore an oath,
"I do not know this man you are talking about."
At that moment, the cock crowed for the second time. Then Peter remembered that Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. And he broke down and wept. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
He answered them,
"You say so."
Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again,
"Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you."
But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the festival, he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder against the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Then he answered them,
"Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?"
He realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priest had handed him over. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them. Instead, Pilate spoke to them again,
"Then what do you wish me to do with this man you call the king of the Jews?"
They shouted back,
"Crucify him."
Pilate asked them, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more,
"Crucify him."
So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, that is the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole cohort, and they clothed him in a purple cloak, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him, and they began shouting,
"Hail, King of the Jews!"
They struck his head with the reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull, and they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it, and they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription on the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews," and with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying,
"Ah, you who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross."
In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves and saying,
"He saved others.
He cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, this King of Israel, come down from the cross now, so that we may see and believe."
Those who were crucified with him also taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice,
"Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani?"
This means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said,
"Listen, he's calling for Elijah."
Then someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying,
"Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down."
Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. Then the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now, when a centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said,
"Truly, this man was God's son."
There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph and Salome. Those used to follow him and provide for him when he was in Galilee, and there were many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. When evening had come, and since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, he was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate wondered if he were already dead and summoned the centurion. He asked him whether he had been dead for some time. When he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. Then Joseph brought a linen cloth and, taking down the body, wrapped it in the linen cloth and laid it in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. He then rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, of Joseph, and where the body was laid.
This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you, Reader Theater. You may return to your seats unless you stand for the sermon. I doubt it. Why don't you drop in your tracks? Thank you. And now may the words of my mouth, the meditation of each and every heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Having prepared for these days of Holy Week, prepared for this day as well, the thing that came to me was playing on two words that begin with P. First one is the palms, and then the pain. Now, when a cause and a movement is in progression, there's enthusiasm, especially if there's no objection, no repression from the Roman government. Many had come in the name of being the Messiah. Those ones were just wiped out of the way by the Roman emperors and by those who sat as governor over the territory occupied of Israel, Palestine. Pilate was the one in many successions of those leaders. Each of those false messiahs were kind of brushed off like a flea attacking a horse and swat or a fly until they were gone and out of sight. But this Jesus stayed wisely out of the main public scene. He was in the backwoods, Galilee, Judea, out there in the countryside. And people would scoff at him. Remember when he was gathering his disciples? Could anything good come out of Nazareth? Because it was a hick town. He began his ministry among commoners in a place that was out of sight of even the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem. But he went around to the villages and that and preached the kingdom of God, following in John's footsteps, his cousin, the baptizer, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Get ready. God's coming in judgment. Israel, world, be prepared. And so he went around to the villages as the scriptures give testimony, preaching the good news is the phrase. He healed many of the sick, exorcised many of the demons. He proclaimed good news to the captive, release and healing to those who are infirmed. His popularity was growing. It was now coming on radar screen in Jerusalem. You're saying, who's this hick guy out here? He's not even a priest. He's not a member of anything significant. He has no formal training. He has no reason to tell us that we're wrong and he's right. He was not intimidated. He was not discouraged. He continued to build the populace around him. As his popularity grew, so many times he warned his disciples, they didn't get it until the last time. The third time, we're told in the scriptures, he said, I must go all the way to Jerusalem, and there I must suffer and die. Oh no, third time Peter says, oh no, Jesus, don't you dare. We got a good thing going. It's easy to get on a bandwagon of something succeeding, popularity. We saw, many of us, Jesus Christ Superstar on Friday night. We had a group of 15 from this congregation. The theater at SC4 was full, and it was the night before. In our production, as one line is where the disciples, it's obviously a satire. Oh, we've always dreamed of the day when we could write the Gospels. and one day just simply retire under royalties. And it's like, no, they didn't. They protested that Jesus would go there and suffer many things. Jesus referring to the Old Testament image of the Messiah. Not the image that popular Judaism of his day, imagine a military leader taking the power like King David 1,000 years before and shaking off Pilate and ultimately Rome off the backs of Israel. That was their hope. So when he entered that day, this day we commemorate, palms, they were looking for the king, laying down palm branches, riding on a colt. Humility, he wasn't coming in a carriage. He wasn't coming looking like a king. His image of the Messiah was different than the world's image of what God is about and what God is doing. And so the religious leaders scoffed, who is this flea coming in here and causing trouble among us? We're the leaders. So they put on their parade. They welcomed Jesus. They're expecting great things in this major city of Israel and the capital, the temple of the Lord God. But then it would become a week of pain. Depending on which gospel you read, and as Jesus Christ Superstar suggests, and its gospel, one of the gospels says that the cleansing of the temple took place during Holy Week. That is when Jesus came in and started overturning all the tables. John's gospel suggested it happened in the first year of his ministry. I would think if it happened his first year, he would have never made it to three. That's my opinion. I don't know why John recorded the event in sequence differently. But when he comes in, he is upsetting everybody's thought. Who is he picking on us when he should be picking on Rome? Why is he challenging our religious order, our religious leaders, and talking this kind of talk instead of mobilizing an army? Swords, we need weapons, we need knives, we need to kill. Blood has to be shed. And Jesus continued his march through Holy Week. Monday, Thursday, he gives the great command. He says to his disciples, because they still aren't getting why he's here, they want palms. They don't want the pain he's going to demonstrate to them. He says to them, as he takes the bread, as he takes the wine, this is my body. This is my blood. This doesn't sound like a revolutionary. Somebody is going to bring in the kingdom of David. What is this talk? And he speaks about giving his life as a sacrifice for his people. For that's about what he's going to do. Remember Peter's protest. Oh, I'm going to stand with you, Lord, all the way. They will not harm you. I'll be there with you at your side fighting. Peter was discouraged by Jesus saying, oh, you're full of air. You won't even be there. You're going to deny me. He didn't say it to the other disciples. He said it to Peter. You're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. Consequently, the fulfillment takes place. He does do that. Jesus is arrested, taken away as a common criminal in the dark, lest the public, who would cry for him to be released, should know what the religious leaders were doing. Pull him out of sight. Then they come back. They work through Pilate. Pilate works through Herod. Herod sends them back to Pilate. And Pilate gathers the Sanhedrin and the people of Israel who have been paid a good sum so that they could say, crucify him, crucify him. When he's presented before Pilate, Pilate says, are you a king? He says, my kingdom is not of this world. So you are a king. You say so. Do I look Jewish? I'm a Roman. I'm the leader of these conquered peoples that you Jews are. No, I am a Roman. I am not a Jew. And I don't understand what you're saying, that your kingdom is not of this world. There's a transformation that takes place at Christ for Jesus at Gethsemane. Jesus Christ Superstar does, a fair interpretation, the struggle between humanity and the divinity. That's the struggle. Do we go on our way or do we submit to God's way? Every one of us go through that, right? We know what's right, but like Paul says, I seem to do what's wrong. And the things that he wants me to do, I stay away from. He says, don't do that. Hey, I embrace it. I do it. And then Paul says, what's going to deliver us from this body of death? Thanks be to God. It's Jesus Christ who sets us free. Christ was on trial, tempted severely. Was he going to go the easy way of palms? Was he going the way of pain? I don't know what you would choose. We know what Jesus chose. It's not easy to be a Christian in today's world. It's not easy to bear witness to the truth when it's easier to be quiet when others speak evil. It's easy to give in because that's the way we always did it, and I don't want to change it. But the kingdom of God brings change, both inward and outward. Not only to ourselves, because this is not a just an individual journey with God. It is a full universal change that God is ushering in through Jesus Christ. Pain is not something humans like to embrace. But pain was what the cross was about. You and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, must not choose the easy way. We must choose Christ's way. Doing what is right in the midst of adversity and conflict. Staying the course and knowing like Jesus did, our outcome is in the hands of God. That's a hard thing to trust. Jesus had to trust that at the end of 3 days, he would see light again. How do you do that when you're hanging on a cross and everything mentally, emotionally, physically is saying, you're out of here? And God is saying, I'm bringing you back. And so he would. From pain comes resurrection and victory. The palms we're just fluff that the world throws at us. But God gives us a path, the eternal life that for many of us means pain, if we truly follow Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing our hymn of the day, page 9, Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed?
Thank you.
you'll please rise for the prayer, Katie's going to lead us.
Renewed in the promises of baptism, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. We pray for the church. Bless all who call upon your name. Unite your church in bearing witness to the gospel. Pour your love into our hearts and inspire us to pour out our lives in service to your world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the world, for palm trees and figs, for trees with leafy branches, for olive groves and gardens, for mountains and hillsides, valleys and canyons, for places affected by rising sea levels or depleted water sources. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the nations, for peace among all, especially those who honor Jerusalem as holy ground, for all who hold positions of authority and power, for all who suffer oppression, and for those who serve in the armed forces. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those in need, for those who have suffered betrayal, for those who live in poverty, for those who have no voice or power, for the forsaken and forgotten, for those who are in crisis, and for those who are ill. Especially we pray for Tony Gaines, Iris Cook, Marvin Miller, the family of Joe Masser with his passing, Jennifer Hudson, Jerry Willer, Phyllis Akers, Jean Klingler, Ed O'Connor, Jaylee Helton, the family of Donna Martin with her passing, Doug Abbott, the family of Saeed, Bibi Maylamoon Abdullah and Emiliana Maylun Medawar, the family of Paul Whitmore with a total house loss by fire, Terry and Gordy Moak's daughter Erin, Brandon Durkee and Matthew Borntrager. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for this assembly, for those preparing for baptism or confirmation, for musicians, altar guilds, ushers, and all who lead us in worship, for those who serve our community through food pantries, homeless shelters, and clothing banks. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We also remember in our prayers today, Lord, those serving our nation, Tristan Morrison, Jamie Soulier, and Rob Nolan, and those returning safely from their service at home and overseas, and those returning into our communities. With thanksgiving, we remember all who have been obedient to your will and all who have died in faith. Bring us with them into your glory to dwell with you in life eternal. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Trusting in your covenant of mercy, O God, we lift our prayers to you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
And if you'll please be seated, we receive the gifts we bring for our Lord. Remind you, we still have till May 6th to bring in your gifts for the Ark. The downtown churches were happy to report that we have brought in approximately, I believe the number now is $2,800 in offerings for the Ark from our weekly luncheons, which is fantastic. Each of our six congregations are asked to contribute, so we at least hopefully pay for more than one Ark, which is $5,000 in service in Christ's name to those in fourth and fifth world countries through Heifer International. So use your banks, you took them home, or bring a one-time check-in sometime between now and May 6th. There are many things happening our way. There is a coffee hour after the worship service at 11 o'clock. For ourselves, as for the community, Monday, Thursday, we worship at 7 p.m. On Good Friday, our worship times are 1 p.m. in the afternoon and 7 p.m. in the evening. Saturday morning, some of us gather together to set up the Lakeside Cemetery Chapel.
You've been listening to the
for
Sunday
sunrise
morning
service.
Worship
the next
service
time you hear
of Our Savior Lutheran
radio,
Church begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.